Well, we have three readings today that show us examples of people who are given a mission by God, but they say, no, I can't. I'm not worthy. I can't do it. I'm too sinful. And the Lord's response is, you are absolutely right, but I can fix that. Look at the wonderful scene we have with Isaiah. You know, maybe we don't think so much these days about the holiness of God and how there's even an awe-inspiring and, because we are weak human creatures, a scary aspect to it. I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, the train of his garment filling the temple, and seraphim, you know, these angels that are, the name seraphim means that they're burning with love and astonishment at the greatness of God. And they say something that should sound very familiar to us, right? They say, holy, holy, holy. And so that reminds us that in the mystery of the Mass, in the mystery of Jesus, the Son of God, becoming present to us, we are singing with the angels because heaven has come to dwell with human beings. Holy, holy, holy. Remember that when we sing the holy, holy before the Eucharistic prayer today. And of course, Isaiah says, woe is me, I am doomed, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And God, of course, says, well, I can fix that. And he, you know, the angels touch his lips with a burning coal, which must have been a scary thing to experience. But then Isaiah finds his courage and his boldness, and he says, here I am, send me. So his fear because of his sins, his fear because of his unworthiness in the face of God, melts away, and he says, here I am, send me. And so I think we should learn again to appreciate God's holiness, but also the fact that we should never be discouraged. We are not strong enough to ruin God's plans for us by sin. Well, I guess if we're obstinate and if we refuse to repent, but if we accept his repentance and his cleansing, then we can take courage and say, okay, Lord, it's your power that's working in me. And so I'm not afraid. We see another example of that in St. Paul, right? He says that I am the least of the apostles. I persecuted the church. We all know very well the story of St. Paul. He was trying to arrest the believers and throw them into prison. And he has this great vision. And then he goes on to become one of the greatest preachers. And we know in the history of the church, sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes the greatest sinners turn out by God's providence to be some of the greatest witnesses, some of the greatest preachers. You know, St. Peter denied our Lord. The Magdalene had sins that were cleansed from her. St. Augustine had perhaps a wild youth. St. Ignatius of Loyola, we can say something good about Jesuits once in a while. He described his youth as you know, vainly looking for glory in battle, but then he goes and you know, has this great conversion experience. And so never be discouraged by your sins. Never think that God is not great enough to overcome them and allow you to do great things in the world. And sometimes it's by his providence that by the very fact of redeeming us from our particular weaknesses, our particular struggles, our particular sins, we are able to become more aware of God's mercy in that area and more able to spread that mercy and encourage others. And so, when we see Jesus, what an interesting and amazing scene. He, you know, this is chapter 5 of Luke. So Peter and his brothers and friends they've heard Jesus before, right? But they're still working. They haven't totally committed themselves to following Jesus. And so they are mending their nets, right? It's been a long day of work. They haven't caught a thing. They must be feeling like all their efforts are wasted. And then Jesus comes along. He doesn't even say anything. He just gets right into Peter's boat. It's as though, you know, imagine that you're just driving along. Oh, well, I guess you're at a stop. And Jesus just decides to open your door and sit down next to you in your car and tell you, you know, make a left turn over here. And Peter seems to kind of humor Jesus, right? He goes where Jesus tells him, and he lets down the nets into the deep, as Jesus says. Peter still seems to be having his doubts because he said, okay, Lord, we haven't caught anything. I don't think you know more than me about fishing, but I'll do what you say. And then he's amazed at what the Lord is able to accomplish. And I can't help looking at this as, in a way, an image of the church. You know, these, I guess in this analogy, we're the fish. We're the slippery ones who are crowding and causing a great deal of hassle for the ones who are catching them and almost making the boat sink. But the phrase that kept coming to my mind praying over this was, bless this mess, right? When more and more believers come, life gets more complicated. And the church, through many centuries of experience, has known that, well, she has to find ways to integrate people of different places, different cultures, different races. And yet it is the Lord's will that we become believers. And so he loves this, the messiness and the jostling of this great catch of fish that symbolizes the believers in the world. And so today, let us remember to let Jesus into your boat, let him into your car, even if you have doubts about what he's asking you to do, let him do as he is suggesting in your life, and open your mind and your heart to let him accomplish amazing things in your life. Amen.